In our call to worship this morning, I want to draw your attention to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're going to be reading beginning at verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or looking into a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, James gives us a unique warning here, and it falls right in line with our natural tendencies. We'll be present in a meeting, and we're only present for about 10 minutes. And then our mind starts wandering off and doing all kinds of other things. And we have to fight to keep our attention upon what we are doing. And he warns about those who are forgetful hearers that may hear the word of God, but it doesn't translate into what? Action, works, doing. It's not enough to be a hearer. That's what James is saying. As we gather together to worship the Lord, and as we come here today to hear Brother Troy preach to us God's Word, it's so easy to be enamored with the person and miss the message. It's easy to be enamored with a thought and miss the message. We'll hear something and we'll run off on a tangent with that, and then we forget to put what we've learned into action. And this is the picture. When you come to the mirror of God's Word, evaluate yourself and fix the problems. When you get up in the morning, this morning when I got up, my hair was sticking up all over the place. If I had just looked in the mirror and come to church like I looked like when I got up this morning and had not made the changes that were needed, you would think that I was crazy. You'd say, Pastor Brainerd needs to go to Chattahoochee. What's he coming to church looking like that for? All right. Now, but what did I do? I took the effort. I saw what was there. I was repulsed by what I saw. And I said, I think I'll fix that, all right? And I'll fix my hair, and I'll wash my face, and I'll brush my teeth, and I'll do the things that I need to do. That's the picture that James is saying. When you come to God's Word, and you look at it, and you walk away, and you just keep on doing the same thing, you're not a doer of the Word. And so, in this worship time, may God help us to take what we hear and make the changes. That's what it means by doing. You make the changes. When you look into the mirror and you see I'm not right with God, then you make the changes. But if you walk out with no changes, then you are no different than when you came. And the Word of God has had none effect. God help us today to worship Him, not only in spirit and truth, but also in action. To take what we hear and translate it into action that honors and pleases Him.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books this morning and begin with number 636. No, not one. We'll stand together to sing number 636.
Jesus, go not one, go not one. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for Christ, Lord. We thank you that you loved us and that you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins, to rise again that we might have eternal life, Lord. And so we thank you so much for our salvation, those of us who know you. Those that don't, we pray that you would continue to work in their heart and give them no rest and no peace until they come to know you. Lord, we're thankful that we have freedom to worship this morning in your house. We thank you so much that we can assemble without fear. Yet we confess, Lord, that this country has turned away from you and continues to do so. And we ask, Lord, for us that are saved, that you would continue to help us, to empower us, to give us the boldness that we need to reach one soul at a time. And that's the only way that this country can have any hope is through you, Lord. Lord, we pray for this ministry. We pray for the different activities that go on with the Youth Athletic Club. We pray that you continue to bless that, everything that this church does would be a ministry, Lord, that you would provide opportunities for us to reach people, Lord. And so we pray that you would continue to bless. We pray for the fall enrollment, that you would continue to add souls, Lord, that the gospel would be given out effectively, that young people would be reached and their hearts would be changed and lives would be lived for you, Lord. And we pray for especially our young people and the teachers, that the teachers would especially see their people as young people as a ministry, Lord, and not just as a student, to see a soul, a life that can be turned for you, Lord. And so we pray for that. And Lord, we thank you so much for the testimony of Brother Troy this morning, Lord. It's a testimony that lifts you up, Lord, that shows your faithfulness and your provision for them. And so we thank you for the safety in bringing them here. We continue to pray for safety as he travels, Lord, and we just pray that you'd prepare the way before him, Lord, that you would allow this time here to be fruitful, Lord, that you would use your people here in America, Lord, to be used by you to provide the needs of this ministry. We pray for his continued reaching of people in Liberia, and that you would we would see more souls saved and hear your wonderful works in that country, Lord. And we thank you so much for that. And we pray this morning that you would anoint him with power, Lord, that we would have open hearts to hear your word, that we may be touched, Lord, and be changed by your word. And we thank you so much for everything you do. May everything glorify your name. In Christ's name, amen.
You may be seated as turnover now to number 65. Hymn number 65, "You Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim," number 65.
Oh,
message this morning. Let's turn now to number 130. Hymn number 130, this hymn called Why, number 130.
It's our privilege today to have with us Pastor Matthew Troy from Liberia, West Africa. Our hearts were challenged and blessed this morning as he shared his testimony of how he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, how God called him into the ministry. And I appreciated so much his desire to bring honor and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ and all that has taken place there. And I want you to listen carefully as he unfolds God's word to your heart this morning. I hope that you will capture some of his burden for reaching the people of his land. He is of tribal descent there, and God saved him, trained him, sent him back to his people to be a witness and testimony, and I thank God for him. And I look forward to having him come and share with you God's word this morning. So, Brother Matthew, would you please come?
Thank you. I want to thank God for Brother Tom Brunner, and I also want to thank God for the deacons and other members of the church who allowed me to be part of this service today. I praise God for this church, Grace Bible Church, in that as a Christian, you are not a stranger, especially in a fundamental Bible church. We have the same way of worship. It is the same belief. And I want to thank God so much for the opportunity afforded me. Please, my English, the accent is not too like yours. So please, I would like for you to listen attentively so that the Lord can speak to you through me. If you have your Bible, I would like for you to please look with me in the book of Romans chapter 10. I will read verses 1 and 2. Romans 10, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Shall we pray shortly? Father, we thank you for your words that have been read. We pray that you will speak to your people through me this morning. I pray may the Holy Spirit take complete control and even teach us the truth in your word. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I'm happy to share God's word from the book of Romans. In Romans, when I begin to read, beginning from chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, we saw here that Paul expressed his heaviness of heart for the people of Israel. And he even said in verse 3 that, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." It shows that he had a very strong desire for his kinsmen. He had a very strong feeling for his people. And I believe that every child of God who is genuinely saved and who knows the wrath of God to come should also have similar desire for his people. Every time when I'm around, I hear people chatting that, it is my prayer that America should really, revival should take place, that people should turn back to God, because we are going to a very terrible place that we cannot really predict. You know, when Paul was speaking here, whenever I read this passage, it also brought heaviness in my heart for the people of Liberia. My desire for Liberia is that they must know Christ and be saved. And the two verses that he quotes is the exact situation of Liberia. In verse 2, he said, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Their salvation. The salvation of my country, Liberia, has been my concern over the years. In that Liberia is a very small country. And what I observe is that before then, Liberia has been a very sweet country before the war. People will leave from Ghana, Nigeria, and other places to come to Liberia so that they will obtain a Liberian passport for them to travel to America. And that helps most of the Ghanaians and Nigerians today. They are living in America because Liberia has a very close tie with America throughout, in that it is America that bore Liberia. And because of this, most of the cultural and other things, they are not practiced there today. They want to carry on the American system. They want to be like America. Though they cannot copy directly, but everything that they are doing, there is total freedom. You can live, you can do anything, you can earn anything. And because of that, it caused many Liberians to go away from God. People believe that they could live without God. They feel that they could make it. And the same thing that happened in the book of Deuteronomy, when God was charging the children of Israel, he told them, he said, "As you are going, be very careful." In that, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 11 and 2, he said that the area that you are going is going to be flowing with milk and honey. "But mind you, as you begin to enjoy, do not forget about me." That was the warning that God gave to the children of Israel. And similarly, when they entered the promised land, when things, the situation changed with them, everybody began to have their own gods. They turned away from the living God. They served the God that was within the land. And because of that, the wrath of God came upon them. This is what happened to Liberia. There was a time that even I remember in the 80-something, my uncle sent for me. He said, "Oh, I want you to send you do R&A work. I want you to come to America." I said, "Oh, uncle, I don't have time for America. I'm living a better life. I don't have to go to America." I used to repair air conditioner, get something on my own, and things was okay. But when war broke out, the whole situation changed. You could walk over their body. You could push body so and drink that water. And the poor people that were there, they all turned to rich people. Because why? They were able to handle gun. So the whole situation changed. People have to leave their properties. They have to leave their homes. They have to leave their cars. And we're going from place to place. So all this, it shows the reality of God's word. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, I would like for somebody to please look there quickly. Let's see what the Lord told the rich man in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." This was the warning that Christ gave to this rich man. When he said, "I will do this, I will build barn, I will keep this," Christ said, "Be very careful, my young man." And this was a situation Liberia went into. People secured themselves with material things, and they never had time for God. And because of that, there were heavy tests that God allowed it to come upon the nation. And everyone, not a single person remained in his or her place. Everything was destroyed. The power, the water, everything. So it brought us to square one completely. So there, it is very needful, it is very needed that God's word should be preached to people. And because of this, as I said, what happened to the children of Israel is the same thing. Every time when you read the book of Judges, you will realize, even the Exodus, you will realize that when the children of Israel turn from God, God will bring suffering upon them. Then they will turn back to God. After some time, they will forget. Then another, they will turn and go astray. After some time, another struggle will come upon them. Then they will turn and say, "God, we have repented. Forgive us." And so. As it happens, things begin to improve. People will go away. This is the situation. But I want to praise God that many Liberians have the ear now to listen to God's word. They see the reality that materials cannot help you. And in the last part of the verse, in Luke chapter 12, verse 21, the same warning that he gave is the same thing. Our life does not value by what we possess. The only value of life is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Your connection with Christ is the highest thing. Whether you are sick, you are well, you are rich, you are poor, you are black, you are white, the best thing that counts, that God values most, is your relationship with Him. So because of this, the Lord has given me a burden that I should be able to reach to people, that I should lead them to Christ. And because of this, I'm praying every day that God give me the opportunity, give me the power. Let me go and reach to our perishing brothers. The sad thing about Liberia now is that right now, after the war, all infrastructure is down. There is no good medical facility. So if you live up to the age of 45, you praise God. Because the average lifespan now is 45. If you pass 45, you say, praise God. No good medication, no better hospital. Most of the ministers and other people, when they are sick, they come to America to attend medical care. So when a poor person is sick, then just get ready, straighten your life to meet the Lord. So those are the things that really give me the desire that people are dying every day. In the little church that I'm pastoring, I conduct more funeral services than the wedding because of so many things that are causing death. So one of the reasons I wish that Liberians should be saved is that they have suffered a lot and they should secure heaven for themselves. It is my heart desire that Liberians should be saved. The second thing that also picture the entire people of Liberia is found in verse 2 of chapter 10. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." You know, it is so wonderful that the Baptist made mission, the missionary brought the gospel. But the regrettable thing is that they were not able to train our people to equip them that when they shall leave, so that we can take over the work. We were fully spoon-fed by them. We were looking up to them for everything. Every time we look up to them, when somebody is sick, they will take them in the helicopter, carry them to the nearby health center. When you need to build a church, you ask them to give you a bundle of zinc. And because of this, people, they never go deep into God's word. The few people that they were trained by them, they were people who some of them stopped to fourth grade, sixth grade is the highest. And when they left, they were not competent to take over the work. So Liberians' lack of knowledge today, in the entire fundamental circle in Liberia, only one person had a master's degree from Tennessee Temple University. And less than 10 persons had a degree in the Bible college. We do not have a sound Bible college that will offer a degree because the government is not allowing them, their standard cannot enable them to offer a degree. So we need knowledge. We are lack of knowledge. Most of the messages that they are preached are something that they heard from other people. They do not go deeply into God's word. So the lack of knowledge. So because of this, they are creating their own righteousness. They feel that there are other means that you can go and go to God. They have created their own religions. They have created their own means. Sometimes it hurts me when I see fundamental Christians saying, church, that church. Whether if you are a Lone Tree member, you are in church. Whether you are in Catholic, you are in a church. That's not every road that you follow lead to the same place. So the knowledge is the basic thing that Liberians are lacking. It is my prayer that God should help them to see. One time I was traveling from a nearby church. I was planning to go and spend the Sunday in my church. Because normally we have visitors and other things. I would like to always, after I go Friday, sometimes go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, come back to the main church that I'm pastoring. So while coming, I had a breakdown with my motorbike. I decided to go to a nearby Baptist church that was there. So when I went, they said, "Oh, pastor has come. However, you came late. Please come and worship with us." I said, "Oh, praise God. I will come and worship with you today." So I went, I sat down in a pew to listen to the message. I felt very, very bad in that service that day. A fellow was preaching in the book of 1 Samuel. I cannot really remember the actual area. But what happened is that he spiritualized the entire everything that he found there, he spiritualized it. This mean that. This mean this. This mean that. And people were shaking their head. I said, "Wow." I felt deeply downhearted. Why should hundreds of people sit down and listen to lies? All because what? No knowledge. They lack knowledge. And the Bible says because the people perish, because they lack knowledge. Where there is no knowledge, there is no vision. So it is my prayer that God should help Liberia to be established, to have a sound, fundamental Baptist Bible college, that the word of God will be preached, in that people are leaving from Nigeria coming to Liberia because money is there, United Nations is there, people are coming, establishing these charismatic churches, preaching prosperity gospel. And most of them, you ask them, they are not saved. They are not saved. They do not know anything about salvation. All they know, give so and so money, you are going to get a visa to go to America, you get this, you will get a better home, you will get a better marriage. Those are the messages that their people are listening to. So there is a need that Liberia should be saved. There is a need that the knowledge of God should be spread so that people will be saved to go to heaven. I remember during the wartime, as I said, about 500,000 or more people were killed. But let's see how many of these people going to heaven. Probably about 5%. Majority are going to hell. And every day people are dying every day. Because where I am, the city that I'm presently ministering to, we have about 20,000 inhabitants. And in there, we have only one hospital. And the one hospital has two doctors. So when you are sick, you go, you have to make an appointment for maybe 2 weeks before you can be able to meet a medical doctor. People are dying, going to hell every day. So God has given me the burden, like what he gave to Apostle Paul for the children of Israel, that his concern, his wish, his desire is that Israel must be saved. It is my prayer that God will help all of us to have desire for our nation, to have desire for our family, to have desire for our children, to pray for them so that they will see the burden that we have for them. We need to pray to God. In Matthew chapter 9, I would like for you to please turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Christ gave a very beautiful description here. And that also suits the situation in Liberia. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, I will read verses 36, 37, and 38 quickly. 36 said, "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." This was Christ's desire. This was his concern when he was on this planet Earth. He looked at the people. He saw the multitude with compassion. And compassion is always accompanied with love. Love. So when Christ saw the group of people, he said they were people that were fainting. They were weary people. They were people who have scattered all over. They were described like a sheep that had no shepherd. This is a situation we have in Liberia. People have scattered all over because of hardship, because of lack of food, because of lack of good health. People have scattered. So Christ had a compassion for the people. It is in a similar vein that when you look at typical Liberians, you realize that there is a great need. There is a spiritual need. Though other people like Lutheran can come and give maybe a bag of rice, they will come and give some other parcel. But the actual need of Liberia is not just a physical food, but you also need to reach them with the gospel. And I praise God that many of them are very receptive to the word of God. Many of them. There are more opportunities that you can go and launch out to lead people to Christ and to establish many fundamental churches. But the hindrance there is that who will pastor these churches? Who is going to pastor the church? You cannot just plant a church and just leave it. So you need people. And the prayer that Jesus gave here that we should pray, that the Lord will send laborers, is my prayer. My prayer is that God should send laborers. People that will have the compassionate heart, that will know the value of souls, to go out and reach the people. This is the situation. People need to be reached. Today, many people are not going out because they have not been sent. And even many people are not going out because they do not have the means. But my prayer is that the same way how Christ prayed that laborers should be provided, it is my heart desire for Liberia. And it is my heart desire for everyone who is supposed to know Christ, who is lingering. I believe when I was in Ghana a few years ago during the college time, though I did not learn the language very well, but I learned a few three because in Ghana, they have a general, besides English, they have the general dialect that everyone who lives in Accra should speak. And because of this, you must reach them through their language. And because I love the souls of the Ghanaians, I have to learn three so that I will be able to communicate with them, because people are living there that they cannot speak the English. So everyone who loves the souls of other people will make every effort. Will make every effort. If you cannot reach them, you can invest into other means that people will go out to reach them. But the desire of Christ, I believe that we should have a similar desire. I remember a few weeks ago we celebrated Easter. And we realized that when Jesus was coming closer to Jerusalem in Luke chapter 19, when he looked at the city, he began to cry. Jesus was weeping over this city. Why was he weeping? He was weeping because when he saw the multitude, he saw the judgment that was awaiting this people, this great city, he began to cry. And anyone that has love for Christ or that has love for soul, you need to also weep over the life, the behavior of people who are around you. Right now, what's happening in America is growing slowly to Liberia. People are advocating for the same-sex marriage. That's the next thing that is coming there slowly. But praise God that people, many people do not like that. Certain time ago, a man went to the radio station to advocate for the same-sex marriage. And some young people went and surrounded the radio station. They wanted to stone that man. Praise God, they had to send police, task force, United Nations, had to send in task force to disperse the people from there. They said, when this man comes outside, we are going to stone him to death. Those are the signs of declension. Those are the signs that we are drawing near to the end time. Christ will be coming any time. And because of this, we must have passion for souls. We must have passion for our loved ones. I want to praise God. Sometimes I feel very hurt when I think about my daddy. He made every effort to take me from country to another country to put me into school. And I praise God that he knew the Lord before he left for heaven in July, last July. So whenever I think, I say, God, give me passion that I will be able to lead many Liberians to Christ as much as I could. And because of this, God has put special love in my heart that sometimes we have to go on a very bad road, ride all night motorbike. Sometimes you had a breakdown, you will sleep in the forest, you wake up, push the motorbike in a nearby town, find mechanic to repair it, then you pick up and continue on the journey. All because of what? The value of souls. Souls are precious in the sight of God. And we need to endeavor to do everything to reach the perishing souls. The greatest gift that you can give to any loved one is to lead them to Christ. And I know that by the grace of God, one of these days, we all will meet in a heavenly show and God will say, Christ will say, well done, good and faithful servant. My passion, my desire for Liberia, my prayer for Liberia is that they must be saved, is that they must know the Lord. What is your desire today? Do you sometimes pray that God should open and bring revival in America? This is my desire. And I pray that God will also give us a heart like what he gave to Jesus, like what he gave to Apostle Paul, that he could even pronounce and say, even if I could be separated from my brethren, let us have a strong love for souls. And this, well, if you have a desire, it will compare you to go extra mile. It will compare you to go to the place where you have not been. You know, when I was coming, when I entered America, especially so when I entered Florida, I said, wow, this is a little paradise. I know that America, we have not been to heaven, but if man's dwelling place could be like this, what's about God's dwelling place? Yes, because in my area, I do not have water, I do not have electricity, I don't have inside toilet facility, and we take our bath outside. All these things we are lacking. But praise God that I have my Jesus. Yes, I have my Jesus. So it helps me. And what I'm trying to do is that because people are living in such a deplorable condition, suffering in this earth, should they suffer here and go back to hell again and suffer? God forbid that they should suffer two times. So it would be better, I lead you to Christ so that all of us can enjoy eternity in heaven. May God help us to have passion for souls. May God help us to have a desire like Apostle Paul so that we can go extra mile. I want to praise God for the American missionaries. They sacrificed their peace. They sacrificed their life, their family, and they had to go. In our place, most of the friends we have is mosquitoes. They will be talking in your ear. And what do? You just have to bear it. But people will leave from such a comfortable place just for passion of souls to go and live in a little hut to lead somebody to Christ. It is my prayer that God bless America as they continue to further the mission ministry around the world. It is only America today that everyone is laying on for the supporting of missionaries around the world. And it is my prayer that God bring revival in America so that people will turn to God instead of watching material things, but to see the value, the true value of life. And the true value of life is to have your relationship with Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
Take your hymn books, please, and let's turn together to number 133. I appreciate so much the message that we heard this morning. Brother Matthew has a tremendous burden for his people, and he has benefited because of the fact that Americans came to his country and brought the gospel. But what are we seeing in America today? We're seeing a decline in money being sent to missionaries. We're seeing a decline in young people desiring to go as missionaries. And very much like what they face there, where their young people don't want to be involved in missions, they don't want to be involved in preaching because they see the situations, the destitution of many of the preachers. They say, we want nothing to do with that. We want material things. Well, there's no life in material things. What we need God to do in our hearts is say, Lord, redirect assets in my life to make sure they're going to right things. You know, it's a wonderful study in the New Testament to see how God redirected assets. I was thinking about reading just recently about how the Lord told the disciples to go down to the ocean and to capture a fish and open its mouth. You know what the Lord had done? Back previously, a man had lost his gold piece, fallen down into the water. Maybe he jumped down in there trying to find it, but God directed a fish to swallow it, swim up toward the shore, so he'd be ready to go there when the disciples went there. He was redirecting assets. I think about the numerous times in the scriptures where God redirected assets. The owner of the white donkey had no idea that day the master of the universe would be riding upon it. But the Lord knew he was there, and God redirected that so that it would be used for his honor and for his glory. And you need to ask God, Lord, do I need to have my assets redirected for the cause of Christ? Maybe I'm thinking too much about me. Maybe I'm thinking too much about the economy, and I've got to save for self, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. Let God redirect your assets, and then you trust Him. There are desperate needs in the work of missions. There are many there in Liberia. There are many in places around the world. We've been brought to our attention today. Special needs that are there. Are you willing to let God redirect those assets? Or have you already spoken for them? If you've already spoken for them, then there's some other spiritual issues that need to be taken care of first before you can even think about the other. May God give us a heart for missions. May God give us a heart for other people other than ourselves. There are lost men and women dying. Can you imagine living with a life expectancy of 45? Makes you thankful for where you live. But you know what? Their attention, we have much to do because we have little time. I think that's where we need to live here in America. We have much to do and we have little time. May God help us to have that kind of attitude. 133, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim, hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's stand together. We'll sing a couple of these stanzas here of 133. this morning that God redirected the assets of heaven in your behalf? He directed His only begotten Son from heaven's glory so that you might have redemption through His blood. What's more important? What's more important? Yourself or God's glory? You think about what God did. This verse of Scripture, bearing shame and scoffing rude. It wasn't His shame and rudeness. It was my shame, my iniquity, my sin that He bore on Calvary's tree. And it was because God, before the foundation of the world, loved me and He loved you, and He redirected the assets of heaven to move in your behalf because we were lost and undone and without any hope. Oh, what a glorious truth. Third stanza, guilty, vile, and helpless we. Spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement can it be? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's go on and sing stanzas 4 and 5 together. Lifted up was He to die.
Lifted up was He to die.
Troy and Brother Freeburg are going to be out in the foyer to answer any further questions that you may have. Maybe the Lord's touched your heart this morning, and you feel like the Lord would have you to give to this ministry beyond what you put in the offering plate this morning. And you need to tell that to Brother Troy. The Lord's been working in my heart, and I believe I ought to do that. He has so many needs. And we have been gifted, have we not? God has been so good to us. We have more than we could ever ask for. And so may we have a heart that God can touch and say, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. Have a spirit of an attitude of giving. Father, we thank You for the good word that we've heard this morning. We thank You for Your servant that You've called to go to His people in Liberia and communicate the gospel, to train men and women, to raise up a Christian school so that young people might know the truth. Father, He has a ministry very much like ours and great needs. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You would work in our hearts. Help us never to have myopia, where we only see ourselves and we only see our family and we only see this or that, and we have no vision for those who perish around the world. Father, I pray that we would be willing to have You redirect assets in our life to assist and help other brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. Father, I pray that we might be a people that are tender and soft to Your leading. And we'll give You the glory and the praise. We thank You for the ministry of Brother Troy. Watch over and protect them as they travel in the rain today. Keep them safe. Bless their ministry tonight in Panama City. We pray, Father, that You would bring us all back together again tonight. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.